Well, over the past couple of months, done a couple other things, but for the most part, been talking about understanding and defeating our enemy, the devil. And I wanted to return one last time, and just talk a little bit more about that, about how, you know, God has made it very clear in His Word that we need to be not only aware of the devil, but that we need to keep our guard up because he is real and his attacks are real. And thank you. It tells us in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." We are in a war. We are in a battle, and we're fighting not against flesh and blood. It's against, and it's not against one another. There's something else going on here. We're fighting against the powers of darkness and against the devil himself. It says in Ephesians 6:12, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Now, of course, there's no way we're going to fight the devil and all his forces with guns or knives or bullets or even tanks or planes or bombs or anything like that. A spiritual battle has to be fought with spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3-5 says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension." And these are the kind of things that are coming from the devil. He puts these arguments and these pretensions, these phony philosophies, phony ideas into our minds, and they set themselves up against the knowledge of God. So it says that we then take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. As Christians, we need to be fully aware that God has provided for us. He didn't put us here on this earth and, you know, allow the devil to be here and us not to be able to deal with him. It's just the opposite. He's provided for us so that we can not only deal with him, but that we can defeat him. So he's given us a weapon that is far and away above anything else that could ever be used to defeat the devil. And that weapon is called, in the Word, the sword of the Spirit. In the days when Jesus walked the earth, the Roman soldier was the envy of the world. And every soldier carried his sword. And it would have been hard to imagine a soldier in those days or in these days without a weapon. And it would be should be just as hard for us to imagine ourselves or any Christian standing against the enemy, the devil, our enemy, without a weapon that God has provided for us. God wouldn't do that to us. And so he's given us something. He's given us a sword. Called it the sword of the Spirit. So what is the sword of the Spirit? Well, it's the Word of God. It's what God has spoken and revealed to us. That's His Word. It's His truth. It's His promises. It's the Gospel, the Holy Book, the Bible. It's a powerful weapon that can be used to defeat evil and the evil one himself, the devil, just as Jesus did. And through it, we can unleash the power of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, I would guarantee you is more powerful than the Tesseract, which is in the Avengers movie. You know, they talk about this great power, and it's all throughout this whole movie is about these cubes that got all this power to open up, you know, go into other dimensions, other places in space. That's nothing compared to the power of God and the power of His Holy Spirit. Why is it called the sword of the Spirit? In the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, Paul had been talking there about wearing the armor of God. as a means of protection against the devil's schemes. But he ends that whole section when he's talking about the armor. He ends it by saying that we should take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So once again, we see that it is the Holy Spirit who is here to help us. Every time we get into God's Word, every time we find out about what God is doing here on earth, how He's relating to us, the Holy Spirit is always involved in some way. We can't separate the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. They work together. We know, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, that all Scripture is God-breathed. And it was breathed, you know, from God. It was like given out of God through the Holy Spirit. That's how God revealed it to us. It tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 exactly that. It says in verse 20, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And the Word of God is prophetic to us. It shows us how to live, how to relate to this world. And it was written, as it says, that men, you know, were carried along by the Holy Spirit and wrote down these words from God so that it would be there for future generations. It was Jesus who said in John 14:26, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you." The Holy Spirit will bring out the truth of God's Word, and He'll remind us of that Word as we're out and about in our daily life, as we're, you know, just going about living and also being that soldier and fighting the devil. When we have that need, when we're dealing with those situations, God is telling us, Jesus has told us in His Word, that the Holy Spirit will bring back that Scripture to our memory and show us how to act, how to respond, how to deal with that, what to say, how to deal with it. Jesus also said in John 16:13, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth." What is truth? God's Word. He's called the Spirit of truth, and He will guide us into truth. He'll guide us in the Word, in God's truth. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John had been arrested, if you remember the story, they were arrested one time for speaking in Jesus' name. And they were released from jail and ordered not to speak the name of Jesus. Doesn't that sound familiar? It's still happening today. So they returned to the disciples and to their people, and they began to pray and ask God for boldness. In Acts 4:31, something happened after they prayed. It says, "The place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the Word of God boldly." See, they got filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God began to move on them. And what happened? The Word of God begins to come out of them and is spoken boldly and with power. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:4, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." When he was teaching the Word of God, when he was speaking about God, when he was speaking about Jesus, he's saying, it wasn't just my words. I wasn't just teaching you, you know, good stuff, which it was, but it was coming out. The reason it was bringing life, the reason it was changing people's lives, because it was demonstrating the Holy Spirit's power. It came through the Word of God. So we call it the sword of the Spirit because He's the one who caused it to be written. He's the one who reveals its truth to us. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings it to our remembrance when we need it. The Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to speak and use it boldly. And the Holy Spirit is the one who causes it to be powerful and effective. So when we take up the sword of the Spirit, when we begin to speak the word and we begin to, you know, use that word of God as it's in us and alive in us, and we begin to speak that out as God brings it to us, as the Holy Spirit brings it to our remembrance, the Holy Spirit's going to be right there with us, working through us, working through us in word and in deed to defeat the enemy. And I'll guarantee you, the Holy Spirit loves every minute of it. We're supposed to be people who are led by the Spirit of God. And when we are really led by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is going to be knocking down the devil's plans left and right. He's going to be helping to advance the kingdom of God on this earth. And the Holy Spirit wants to lead us, His people, out and about in the world, wherever we are, knocking down those plans of the devil and advancing the kingdom. So when we speak the Word of God, the Holy Spirit gets all excited. He's right there. He wants to work through us. You know, there's a scripture that talks about not quenching the Holy Spirit, not dampening, putting, you know, like putting muffles over Him, or, you know, that kind of a thing. If you think quenching is putting out a fire, we quench a fire. We quench our thirst. We get rid of it. So we're not supposed to quench the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to do exactly the opposite. Give Him the freedom to work through us, to use us, to build the kingdom of God, to knock down and defeat the devil. What is the nature of this sword? Well, we know that this sword, any sword, can be used defensively. And in particular, Jesus proved how effective it was defensively. In Matthew 4, 1 through 11, if you remember when Jesus was out in the desert, and the devil was trying to tempt Him to turn the stones into bread, to, you know, to jump off the tower and let the angels catch Him, and to bow down to the devil and then receive all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, Jesus didn't do it. In fact, every time He came back and said, "The Word of God says," He used that sword of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was right there with Him, and He spoke to the devil, and the devil gave up, said he left until a more opportune time. So we know it works effectively in defense. But even though the sword is effective in defense, it really shines. It was really, you know, we're really given that authority to use it as an offensive weapon. Imagine if a soldier had a weapon, but he never used it to attack, only to defend when somebody attacked him. A soldier that never attacked his enemy, but only, you know, defended himself, is never going to advance. The line is never going to advance. A person, a people, a team that only defends and never attacks will one day, sooner or later, be defeated. God doesn't want us to hide in a corner. He doesn't want us as Christians, as Christian soldiers, like we talked about a couple weeks ago. He doesn't want us to, you know, to shy away from entering the fight. We've been called to fight the good fight. Matthew 11:12, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it," and women. Forceful people. So in other words, we are to be a force, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, we are to be a force for good. God has called us to be a force for good, forcefully advancing the kingdom. That means we have to use sometimes some force. It means we have to use, and I'm not talking about punching people. We don't go out and punch them. We don't take our Bible and smack them in the face. But we have to be strong. We have to speak up. We have to go forward. We have to plan. We have to motivate. We have to take a chance. We have to step out. Those kind of things. We're supposed to overcome evil with good. How can we overcome evil with good if we're afraid to use any kind of pressure or force? We can't. We're supposed to fight the good fight. Not just defend ourselves when somebody attacks us, but go on the offense. Could you imagine a football or a hockey or a basketball or a baseball team with no offense, only defense? How many wins would they have per season? None. They wouldn't score any runs or any goals or any touchdowns or anything. You know, they could never win because they would never score. Another aspect of this sword is that it's indestructible. 1 Peter 1:25, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Mark 13:31, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. The word of God is not going anywhere. The sword of the Spirit is not going anywhere. It's not going to disappear. We'll never be without this, you know, this source of power, this source of, you know, a weaponry, this ability to fight. We'll never be without it. We don't have to ever be without it. The sword is unified. It's solid. It's real. It's, you know, it's not something, it's not a paper tiger. There's a commercial out there I saw recently where I think a woman went up and she got a pop machine and went to the pop machine, got up some pop. I think maybe it was Sierra Mist. It said it was all natural or real or something like that. And as she got that can of pop, next to it was another pop machine and it fell over. And it was just a paper cardboard machine. There was nothing there. You know, the Word of God is solid. It's real. There's other religions built on other, you know, other books, other doctrines, other philosophies that ultimately will all come crashing down. I don't care how nice they sound. I don't care how many people follow them. If it's not the Bible, it'll eventually fall. Because it's not solid, it's not true. The Word of God is true. Not some other book. Even though it was written thousands of years ago, and over a period of thousands of years, or a couple thousand years, and even though there were many different writers, the Word of God is perfectly woven together with a central theme of God's love for mankind expressed through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the message of the Bible. And God's Word backs itself up too. When you read something here and you read something there, you'll find that it all comes together. It's solid. Another aspect of the sword, the Word of God, is that it's powerful. God spoke the heavens and the earth into existence through the power of His Word. The Word is creative. It's powerful. Things can happen when we speak the Word of God. We sometimes don't recognize what power, what authority, what we have in our hands, in our hearts, and in our minds when we have the Word of God and we speak it out. God spoke, and the heavens were created. He spoke, "Let there be light. Let there be the earth," you know, humans, man and woman, I mean, animals, trees, everything. It all came into existence through the Word, through His speaking, through His truth. And then He's given that truth to us. He's given it to us in a book form. He sent His Holy Spirit to teach us how to understand it and to empower that Word, that same Word when God, in the beginning, was the Word, you know, was God when He was creating, and it tells us that the Holy Spirit was there and the Spirit of God was over the face of the earth. The Holy Spirit was there at creation. The Holy Spirit was there when we were born again, and our creation, or whatever you want to call it, in a sense, a recreation, when we became new, a new creation. And now when we are led by the Spirit of God, and we have the Word of God alive in us, and we speak it and live it, the Holy Spirit is still there, empowering that Word creatively again. That's amazing. It's amazing what God has given us. Hebrews 1:3 tells us that Jesus is sustaining all things by His powerful Word. It means sustaining. He's keeping it going. He's holding it together. This world, you know, if you know anything about physics, if you know, like this, and I've talked about this before, this pulpit sounds solid. Sounds real solid. But, you know, it's not solid at all. There are molecules in there, atoms, neutrons, neutrinos, all these different things moving all around, you know, going all the little things you've seen with those atoms. They're moving all around. It seems solid. It's a little denser than some other things. But everything is really, there's movement in everything. In our body, it looks solid, but there's cells moving all over the place and all kinds of stuff happening. Everything that there is, even though it may look solid, there's all kinds of movement. And there's something, and science really still doesn't quite understand how, but there's something that makes it stay together. Something that holds things and makes them solid. That keeps the earth from just disintegrating. That keeps trees from just disintegrating. That keeps us from disintegrating. And then we have this scripture here, Hebrews 1:3, that tells us that Jesus is sustaining all things by His powerful Word. You see, God created everything out of nothing. He brought it together. He made it and created it. And His Word, because He created it through His Word is still sustaining it and keeping it together. If God wanted to, He could just like that let it all be gone. He wouldn't need a death ray, no invisible kind of ray, wouldn't need anything. All He'd have to do is just decide to forget about us, forget about the world. Of course, He never would. He could just as easily, as He said, let there be light, He could say, let the light be gone. Let the earth be gone. Let people be gone. Let everything be gone. But He doesn't. He sustains it by His powerful Word. Look at the millions of hearts, the millions of lives that have been changed. It's probably harder to change a heart and a mind than it is anything else. To really change a heart, you know, to the point where somebody is evil and then they become good, you know, to a degree. I mean, we still have evil tendencies in that, but we do change to a point where maybe, for instance, we dealt with anger or, you know, this sin or that perversion or that bad habit, and then God comes in and just takes us and changes us. The power of His Word coming into our life. People have sacrificed their lives because of the Word of God. Carrying it into countries where it wasn't allowed. Being caught with a page of a Bible and being martyred because they wanted that Word. Another aspect of that is about the Word is that that is absolutely amazing is according to Hebrews 4:12, and this I think is really just the one that tops it all, and that is that the Word of God is living and active. Living and active. It's alive. It's living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. When we read the Word of God, it can speak to us. It can open up our mind. It can judge. It can tell us what's right or wrong. It can convict us. It can change our hearts, change our minds. It can teach us. It can show us. It can change us, literally. What a book. What other book could do that? What other word, what other sword can do that? Only the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. So how do we use this sword effectively? Well, just like any weapon, the first thing we have to do is we have to recognize what the dangers are. I remember when I, years ago, six years ago, something like that, I went to sign up for a gun class and to be able to shoot. And the first thing that they did, it was an 8-hour, 10-hour class, something like that. Probably the first 4 hours before lunch was all about the things you couldn't do. Everything that what you can't do with the gun. To the point the guy literally tried to scare away as many people as he could. And at lunchtime he said, now for those of you who are going to come back, and he says, and don't feel bad if you don't come back, he says, I want you to know all the reasons why you shouldn't even be messing with one of these. And that's sort of how it is with the Word of God. There are wonderful things we can do with it, but there are some things we need to know about the Word that we need to be ready for. We need to be careful of. First thing is, we need to be careful not just to quote the Word of God without believing it, without trusting it, without obeying it. You know, Satan knows this Word a lot better than we do. And there's a little story in Acts, just a short story here, Acts chapter 19. It tells us what can happen when we try to use the Word when it's not really part of us. It says, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, you may possibly remember that. A Jewish priest were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered all of them, all seven of them, and he gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. So we can't just think that because we know about the Word, if we don't have a real relationship with Christ, if we haven't submitted ourselves to Him, if we don't believe His Word, we can't just go around using that Word in the same way that a real believer would. We have to be cautious of that. Another thing is we can't compare the Word of God. It's not on the same level as our reasoning, as our feelings, our experience, our understanding. There is no comparison. We can't actually make the Word as low as our reasoning, as our understanding, as our experience. The Word of God, God's ways are so much higher. His Word is solid, it's true. Our thinking, our heart, our ways, His ways are higher than our ways. So we can't take the Word and put it on the same level as what we think. You know, and people will do that. They'll sit around and they'll read the Word of God, and somebody else will say, well, you know, that doesn't seem right to me. I think we should be able to do this. And I've heard that 100 times, and I've heard that from Christians many, many times. Well, I know it says this in the Word, but, you know, I really feel that God would have me do this. Oh, yeah? I feel He would have you do what the Word says. Our heart can be deceitful above all things, and we need to trust that God's Word is true. Another thing is we can't use God's Word to confirm our opinions where we have an idea, we have an opinion, and we say, okay, I'm going to go find some way in the Word to prove it. And we just go, we look for all these different scriptures just to try to back up our way of thinking. And so what happens then is people twist the Word. And they'll distort the Word. you know, to try to make it fit into their philosophy, their way of thinking. That's wrong. We can't do that. We can't change the Word of God. And in fact, it talks about that in Revelation at the very end of the book. Don't be messing with God's Word. Another thing that we can't do is we can't pick and choose which scriptures to follow. You know, it's not the book of 7-Eleven. It's not a convenience store. We have to also, we have to remember as Christians that we can't use the Word of God apart from the Holy Spirit. We'll never receive the full benefit. Yes, the Word of God is true, and there are certain principles in there that if anybody uses it, it's going to work because truth is truth. You know, I mean, a businessman could apply biblical principles to his business and probably be very successful. But he's still not going to receive and walk in the real benefit of that word if the Holy Spirit is not there with him. If, you know, he's not being led by the Spirit of God. Its greatest power lies in the fact that the Holy Spirit is backing it up. God, basically, is backing up his word. And that's what makes it living and active and sharper than any other sword. It's because the Spirit of God is there with this word all the time. Was there at the beginning at creation? Was there when we got saved? Is here now as I'm speaking about this word? Is there when you're reading your word and studying it? Is there at the Bible study, at the home meeting, wherever it is that we, when the word is there, the Spirit of God is there waiting to activate that word inside of us and in that situation as we are being led by the Spirit of God. The next thing that we need to do to use the sword of the Spirit effectively is to train ourselves. So we have to submit to its authority because there is no standard that is higher. There is no other word. There is no other thing that we can compare it to. So we have to submit to that authority. That's part of the training ourselves, teaching ourselves to be submissive to that word. And then the next thing we need to do is to study the word. You know, the Bereans, it said, were of more noble character because they studied the scriptures daily. The Holy Spirit doesn't make Bible study needless. What the Holy Spirit does is he makes the Bible study effective. He makes it powerful. He makes it exciting. And if the devil can get us to just take our sword and hang it up on the wall, put it up on the mantle and never look at it, he wins. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." We need to get this word into us. We need to train ourselves up. Understand this word. God wants us to learn everything we can about his word so this sword can be used effectively. Just like any tool that we have, any weapon that we have, any a game, even a video game. I mean, how are you going to win the video game if you don't learn how to do it? How are you going to use a tool to build something if you don't have a clue how to work it? We have to train. We have to learn. We have to understand that word. God wants us to prepare for the dangers of ahead so that when the day of evil comes, when the devil attacks, we'll know how to respond. We'll know, you know, we can stand our ground. We can defeat our enemy. That's how we overcome evil with good. That's how we resist the devil so that we can watch him flee. That's how we advance the kingdom of God, by knowing how to use this word. That's how we can set the captives free. You hear something from the devil, or you begin to feel this, and the enemy tells you you're all alone, or you begin to feel all alone. Nobody's with me. Nobody cares about me. I'm all alone. Well, Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." And there are more. I can't get into all of them. I got a whole bunch of them. I'm just going to tell you a couple. If we're attacked by guilt, Romans 8, 1, "Therefore there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." When we feel that nobody loves us, not even God. Nobody cares about us. Romans 8, 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So don't ever believe I have sinned too much. I went too far this time. God doesn't love me anymore. God can't love me anymore. Baloney. That's a lie of the devil. Nothing in all creation. Of course, we have to repent of our sin. We have to deal with our sin. But remember, Christ died for us while we were still sinners. So if we happen to sin now, he doesn't stop loving us. When we're attacked by discouragement, Romans 8:37, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I can't do this. I can't make it. My life's a mess. I'm falling apart. God's word says no. We are supposed to be more than conquerors. That's God's word. That's the word of God that is alive and living and well and can work inside of us if we allow it to. It's better than pills. It's better than therapy. The word of God is effective. It's powerful and effective. A lot of that other therapy and stuff, I'm not saying that all therapy is bad, but a lot of therapy is not that effective. And there are therapists who will freely admit that. But the word of God is effective. When we're attacked with suffering, Romans 8:18, I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. You know, we all got problems. We all got suffering. Everyone in here, I guarantee you, every one of you is going to die. And before we die, we're probably going to get sick, you know, to some degree. Maybe not, you know. Maybe it'll be an accident. Right? Some way or other, though, we're all leaving this place. We're all going to die. And what I'm just trying to say is that it doesn't matter what we're going to go through. Sometimes it's a little scary, but we need to not be afraid. Because it says in here that our present sufferings are not even worth comparing. They can't even be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed to us. We have to put it in perspective. See, when we speak the truth and we begin to have it in ourselves and it's real to us and we know that scripture and it's life to us and we're dealing with this issue or that issue, it keeps coming back and the truth says to us, but yeah, but don't worry about it. This is nothing compared to what, you know, what we've got in store for us. When we're tired and weary and overwhelmed, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I could probably go through 100 more, but I'm going to close. And I'm just going to say, whatever temptations, whatever trials, whatever fears, whatever doubts you have, whatever you're going through, just like God told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. There's no need that God has not provided for. God is not caught off guard by our troubles. Oh my gosh, I didn't think Peter would ever go through that. I've never dealt with that before. Could you imagine God saying that? Of course not. Wow, Larry just had surgery. What is that? God's not like that. He knows what that is. I mean, we go through these things. We all got them. We all got problems and difficulties. And God says, I know. And I'll be there with you through that. You know? Satan can't surprise God with some new tactic or new trick. God has seen it all. He's seen it all. And he's already prepared ahead of time, his word, And he's given us this wonderful word that within it, we can find answers to everything that we go through. And then he says, and now I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit on top of that to make this word powerful and effective and creative and alive, living and active in your life. Doesn't that sound like a nice thing to have God's Word? Think about this. God's Word alive inside of you. Living and active inside of you. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just turn on a switch? And I always thought this would be cool if they could come up with some great computer that had the Bible in it, except it wasn't just the Bible like a concordance, but you could go to that computer and ask it any question, no matter what you were going through, and the answer would come out. And it would be like God talking to you. I mean, it would be just like, wow, it'd be something like prayer. And reading the Word of God. Oh my gosh, there's a way to do that. We just have to read His Word and go to Him in prayer and let the Holy Spirit speak to us and reveal, as it says, guide us into all truth. Remind us of what He said to us. And show us the way. Judging the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. Opening up our mind. The sword of the Spirit is able and ready to handle any and all challenges. As God's Word lives in our heart, we become strong in His mighty power. And the more we know His Word, the stronger we get. The more useful we get to the kingdom, to other people, the more faith we'll have, the more power, the more excitement, all kinds of good things. God, and I'm just going to close with this last thing here, where God has placed us in the battle zone. You know, I was thinking, you know, how they call it insertion. They take these guys, you know, they get in the helicopter, the black ops or whatever it is, and there's a battle going on over there and they can't maybe get through the lines, so they take them up over the top and they insert them into the battle. They drop them in, and these guys usually, with the ones that they drop in, are the cream of the crop. They're the SEALs or the Rangers or something like that, and they go in there and they're ready to do the job. And you know what? That's us. You're the cream of the crop. When you got God's Word alive in you, active in you, living in you, and God places you in that battle zone, He's expecting us to do some damage, to rescue somebody, to blow up that, you know, that plan, that thing there, and destroy that enemy thing, and you know, take this out, this good thing. That's just like they do in the natural. It's the same thing going on in the spiritual. So He's given us this mighty weapon. You know, those guys got their guns and grenades or bombs and their little GPS units and all these different things. We've got the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And if it came down to it, that will be stronger than any worldly weapon that there ever was. If God is for us, who can stand against us? That's a pretty important scripture. If God be for us, who can stand against us? No one. No one can. And when we have His Word inside of us, when we live by that Word, we've got it. We've got what we need then. We've got all we need. That Word is going to take us everywhere. It's going to enable us to do whatever needs to be done. So let's close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your Word, the sword of the Spirit. We thank You so much that You have not dropped us into this battle zone and left us defenseless, but instead You've given us a powerful, effective weapon. And Lord, I pray that each one of us here, everyone hearing this message, would take this word seriously to the point where we train ourselves in it, where we learn it, where we understand it, where we know what to do and what not to do, and where we become ready, able, where we are led by your Holy Spirit, and where we can go out, understand, and defeat every plan of the enemy. Where we can go out and advance the kingdom forcefully and take ground, take back what the devil has stolen. Where you can use us, Lord God, where you can use us to do your work on this earth. Lord, I pray your blessing upon every single person here, Lord God, that as we get to know this word, as we study and learn your word, that we would see our lives just take on a whole new dimension, rise up to a whole new level, and become something really, really special. That we would be kingdom builders. That we would be enemy destroyers. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father.